Which time?
Oh, that clock.
Which time?
4:50.
But I can't choose either one.
So I'll get a lot louder.
So much has been said since I got here yesterday afternoon. I've just enjoyed it all. Then, right before lunch this morning, Elder Bass said I was to come this afternoon. He thought he would ruin my lunch, but he didn't. I ate well. Because the Lord sent a message to me, and I didn't even know it at the time, my brother sent it.
I just got over it.
Whenever I immediately went to feeling sorry for you, because I would be attempting to praise our Lord with you this afternoon, I thought, how poor to think that God could not pull me up.
That's right. Amen.
That would be a disgrace for me to even think that. And I'll tell you for sure that if I get held up, it will be by Him. When I left home, I thought I had something been on my mind for 2 or 3 months, but it had never come to the front, and it came to the front between Gerald, Texas, and McMahon, Texas, Thursday afternoon, and immediately Brother Hewlin took it away. He got up and talked about a banner that was over us, and that banner was love. And I got to thinking, it's love.
Still here?
It's love. And immediately I began to think about some scripture that dealt with love. And I had a hard time finding something. No. I really didn't, you know. And there's one we probably see on the billboards all the time, and I wish those folks understood it that put it there and understood it that read it. John 3:16.
Yeah.
I want you to know that fits in real well with 1 John 4:8-10.
That's right.
Herein is love. That's 1 John. Herein is love. Not that we loved Him, but that He loved us. I didn't have a thee or ye or thou. It's very plain. But that He loved us, and I like that conjunction there. I'm not an English teacher, but I do know conjunction. I like that conjunction. It didn't stop there. He didn't just love us, but He did something else and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Herein is love.
Amen.
For God so loved the world. His love. That He sent. He gave His only begotten Son. All right. Love. Love. Oh, that's wonderful. That's that rock. And you know that rock hadn't got any of the little men on it. You know what sand is. I used to preach before. I was trying to keep Brother Heath. Oh, there he is. But Mark something about sand. You know what sand is? It's little pebbles. It's little bitty pieces of rock. And when a man begins to try to think he's a part of that rock, and he begins to get himself in there, he gets a bunch of sand, and it won't stand. The Bible says it just won't stand. You got to get down to the rock. And nothing little about that rock. And it's singular. Singular. But that's the love that God had for us. And I thought, that's wonderful. That's great. But then I listened to what Jesus said to some folks while he was here alive in the world in his ministry. Y'all know Christ was a minister. He was no Baptist preacher. Yeah, he was. Because he taught the same doctrine to the apostles, and that's what we claim we hold on to.
Yeah.
That means, you know. I sure wished he was sitting here right amongst us in person today, but I feel he's been here in the spirit.
Amen.
And, you know, he taught some folks something there. They were trying to trick him. You know, there's been people trying to trick old Baptist preachers ever since I've known them. Trying to confuse them. Say, you really don't believe that. Brother Sonny, you really believe what you said this morning? I can't believe that. And they asked him, they said, I'm going to the 22nd chapter of Matthew, the 36th verse. And he said, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? You see, those are the sandsters. Now, this reason I wanted to describe to you what these folks were. These pieces of rock. Those are the sandsters. They're the ones that confuse and make the rock. You got to clear all that off before you can get that good firm foundation. So the sandsters were out. And they said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? They thought, we're going to let him pick one of those, baby, and then we'll get him. They hadn't dusted the sand off. They didn't know how solid the rock really was, did they? He told them immediately. He says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt. Well, that's one of them shouts. That's not shout, that's shout. Get that L in there, huh? Thou shalt love. Yes, he's still under that banner. Reckon he's carrying that banner?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still got that banner. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Think about that. Could probably spend... I'm glad they put a clock up there. We could probably spend the whole time, the Lord... Thy God. There's a lot in that. I've got to go. The Lord thy God with all thy heart. And, another one in conjunction, with all thy soul. That's pretty good. Uh-oh. And with all thy mind. Ooh, when I start looking at all that, it doesn't leave a whole lot of me left, you know? Doesn't leave a whole lot of me left to love anything else except the Lord thy God. Well, that's pretty tough. Then he says, this is the first and great commandment. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to echo what Jesus Christ said today. I'm going to tell you that the first and the greatest commandment in all of God's holy word is that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart. With all our what?
Soul.
And with all our what? Mind. I might have to take those parts yet. That's a pretty full job. That's the first and that's the greatest. I want you to know if we can leave here this weekend having understood and having loved the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, we will be lifted above the timberlines. I like that. You know?
Yeah.
But you know, I like to get up above the timberlines.
Yeah.
Not just to look down and see about all the growth down there, because then there's no growth in my way to look on up to the heavens either, you know. But then Jesus didn't stop there with love. And if I should have given a text. And if I have a part I'd really like to talk about this afternoon for just a little while, is I'd like to talk about the second one. Because that's awful hard for me to practice. That's awful hard for me to practice. And then And the second is likened to it. What's it?
The first.
The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, I think I have more trouble with the second one than I do the first one. God has blessed me to know that He is I am. I'll give you a little story about that. Many of y'all knew my daddy. His name was I am. Just initials. I, and when he wrote this legally, he had to put I only in parentheses. M only in parentheses. And when I was a little boy and I'd hear the preachers talk about the great I am, I thought, he ain't too great. I know him. I live with him. But I soon learned the difference. He's talking about I am. That I am. Think about that. I tried to explain that one time. I believe she's here. I finally got to the point that I just said, he am. I am. I know there is no other God. There is none other. Men have tried to hold him up. I've tried to hold him up. They're not there. It's him. I like what they said about serving God with no arms and no legs and everything else. They have to carry those kind of around. You know, our Lord goes where he wants, just like that. Nobody has to carry him. But the second one, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Satan gets after me a whole lot. He gets in. He works real well. He's very clever. I'm more like Eve than Adam. He gets to me first. But you know, Satan comes and he says, okay, so God's got with you. I understand.
Yes, sir.
You got it. But look at Brother Sulzer. I'll use Brother Hanks. I'm not saying. Look at Brother Hanks. You're not a bad team. Huh? Why? You don't do those things. I begin to agree with him. Yeah, you're right. No, I'm not that bad. Am I loving my neighbor?
That's my problem.
Oh, absolutely not. I heard some ministers get up today and yesterday, and they talk about one of them said, and I believe it was Brother George had the suspenders on. I don't even have the suspenders on. So he called, you know, hooking your thumbs and your suspenders. I want you to know, brethren and sisters, I'm not thinking too much about and loving my neighbor as myself if I think I'm somebody.
That's right. Amen.
That's good.
I'll tell you the only thing according to scriptures that I think I can prove that a minister is. Well, we were sinners. We're all sinners. If we did that by nature, you were one of them too. But if from the scripture I know that a gospel minister is to be what? A voice. One that proclaims. One that tells. One that shows. One that brings to your mind your attention. To stir up your pure mind. I guess that's the reason I can talk so loud. Yes, I'm supposed to tell it. Not make it up. I'm supposed to tell it. I'm supposed to tell you to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, and with all thy mind. I'm supposed to tell you to love your neighbor as yourself. That gets hard. You know, there was a group one time and asked him who their neighbors were. Well, you tell you, people are always trying to get you confused, aren't they? Huh? Who is your neighbor? Who is your friend? That was the subject I thought of that. Who is your friend? Who are your friends? I'll tell you one friend you've got, and he's sticking closer than a brother. And that's the rock. Everything goes back to the rock. Everything goes to the rock. You get all the sand dusted off of it, and it's sure, and it's firm. But I'll tell you what this love bit will do that you and I Remember, he told these guys they're supposed to do this. You got something to do. You're supposed to do something. Love the Lord thy God. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Brethren and sisters, I'll tell you, when we do that, there ain't no sand put back on the rock.
That's good.
But if we don't do that, we've just put some sand back on the rock. Did you ever walk out on cement? It's not a rock, but it's kind of like a rock. Did you ever walk out on cement and it's got some sand that's been spilled on it? Footing is not too good. But if you get rid of that sand, the footing is better. Let's don't be putting sand on the rock. Let's keep these things and love our neighbor as ourselves. Please pray not just for the ministers, but pray for the audience. Pray that God would give us hearing ears and an understanding heart, that he might send, we can receive and we can feast upon it. Because I'll tell you what I have done, and I'll confess. Brother David, he's not here today. Brother David and I got worried. Brother George got up and was making a public confession last night about preachers. And he said, we need to do that in private. He's telling all of our faults up front. I will confess to you, I failed very often in loving my neighbor as myself. Do you? I fail to appreciate and hold a child of God in the position that I should. That's one of God's children. That's a brother or a sister of mine. That's family. I should never do anything that would hurt them. I should never do anything that would bring disgrace or sorrow to them. If I do, I'm not demonstrating my love for them as I'm supposed to. I apologize for not having studied more. When I came down here, I could have done a better job had I done what I'm supposed to and study the Word and be more instant in season and out of season. I'm sorry. You see, if I loved you in the proper way, I would have done that. I would have done more. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I want you to know, it's easy to say. It's hard to do. It's a whole lot easier, and this is scriptural too. It's a whole lot easier to see a mote in thy brother or thy sister's eye. That little speck, that's what a mote is. A big thing, you know? You got a whole bean, that's a big thing, in your own eye. You know? But I can see your motes a whole lot easier than I can see my bean. That's Satan. That's Satan. He causes that. He is our enemy. He is the enemy of the rock. He is our enemy. He causes all of our problems. You know, I want you to know Jesus Christ doesn't give us problems. He gives us grace and love and mercy. Satan causes our problems. Satan comes along and tells me, yeah, you're not as bad as he is. You're not as bad as he is. See, you can build yourself up. We're always looking around to see who we can say, well, I'm a little better than that one. Every one of these ministers here know the worst thing in the world you want to do when you come into the stand is be a failure. Old Elder W.J. Chambers said, don't worry about that, Larry. You're a failure before you go up there. And when you understand that's all I am is a failure, and it's only by the grace of God that it's not a failure that time.
Yeah.
But you see, you don't want to be a failure. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to turn it around. Now I've confessed my sin. I'm going to confess your sin for you. As soon as they announce who's preaching, you say, okay, I like that one. Yes, sir, I'm ready. You probably been going around talking to the preach committee. I think that's him, but anyway. Going around talking to the preach committee and saying, I want you to put so-and-so up. I really like it. Don't put so-and-so up now. I want you to think, man, that ain't loving your neighbor as yourself. I'll tell you what you ought to be praying for is that the Lord would send the message.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't matter who the voice is. Just get the message, you know.
Yeah.
I came in this morning to eat breakfast. Now, Brother Tom Owens had made the announcement. He was cooking breakfast. I got in. I found out some others helped too. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I came in to eat breakfast this morning. He took the credit gladly for having fixed the breakfast. He did, and it was good. And I like it. And I don't care what Brother Hewlin says. Keep fixing all that good food. We need it. We need to keep our strength up. You know, we can tell some of us we're getting weak. I want you to know we are always willing to try to say, yes, I did the good thing. And not put down, but not worry so much about the others. You know, if I do that, let me use another example. When Brother Don got up, I could have said, Lord, bless him, but bless me more. Bless me more, right? I certainly want to be, you know, I don't want to. The Lord has blessed us so here. I don't want him going away and say, well, Howes and Fluke is the only one that didn't do anything. What do you expect? I want you to know, brethren and sisters, that's satanic. That's not godliness.
Amen.
Godliness is that we not only love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, but that we love our neighbor. We love you as ourselves, and we pray, and we want you to be upheld. We want you to be fed. We want you to be carried to the mountaintop that you can sing and shout the praises of our God. Not just in the Thursday night or Friday morning or Friday afternoon or Friday night, but every time you go to the worship service of God.
Amen.
Somebody said, when we go to church, we don't always praise the Lord. That's right. I confess it here. I've been in worship services all my life. God blessed me to be raised in the old Baptist church. And I've always been a front row Baptist, not a back row. I don't know why. Maybe I thought they always kept looking at the back. You know, they wouldn't see me sitting there. But I'd go and I'd sit on the front row. I've seen the times that a minister preached for an hour, hour and a half. Them old ministers used to preach a long time. Preach for an hour, hour and a half, and he'd get through, and I'd say, well, he sure didn't have it today. You know? And look around, and I was the only one in the house that didn't get nothing that day. Now I wonder who didn't have it that day. It wasn't the minister that didn't have it. And it wasn't the rest of the congregation. And when I had stopped in my mind and considered those things, I certainly was not doing the two commandments that Jesus told me. Could put my finger right on it. Put my finger right on it. I'm going to tell you something. This is profound. Everyone that God chose in Christ is going to be in heaven. But not everyone that God chose in Christ is going to be blessed to sit under the gospel ministry.
Amen.
In their life.
Amen.
And not everyone that is blessed to sit under the gospel ministry is going to receive it, practice it, and be blessed in it. There's a parable about seed. The planter and falling on different kinds of soil. You know who prepares the ground? I can quote a little better than I did, by the way. You know who prepares the ground? You do. You prepare your own self. I can't prepare yours, Brother Jordan. If you haven't been preparing for this meeting before you got here, I can't help you there. You can't help me there. We need to be preparing so that the seed that is sowed would fall on good ground and you'll see the difference in the production. In the production, how much it produces. And you know all of that comes from love. All of that comes from love. So, what is it that you and I need to do if we haven't been cleansed? We should devote totally ourselves, our heart, soul, and mind to loving God. You know why he didn't say, and also love your neighbor with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind? Because you can get that neighbor. Somebody quoted that, a man oughtn't think more highly of himself than he ought. You know, we can get ourselves out of position now. But I'll tell you what. If you love your brother or your sister, if you love that ministry, if you love your pastor as you do yourself, and you pray for them diligently as you do for yourself and your needs and your wants and your desires, I want you to know blessings will flow, and it's going to be a whole lot like the loaves of bread and the fishes. You're going to get full and still be able to fill up a basket full or two and take home with you. Because the Lord blesses his people. But he blesses those that are loving their neighbor as themselves. And loving the Lord thy God. All their heart and all their soul and all their mind. He gives them that blessing. Remember, I've already said they're going to heaven. He gives those that are under the sound of the gospel, that have made that preparation and are following that, he gives them an extra abundant. Double. That's extra abundant. A double portion. You're right. A double portion. And you know, we can all have our pity party. I can get up here and say, well, I've already said, I can't talk. And I can't quote scripture just like that. It's not my gift. But you know, I used to worry about that. I don't worry about it. The Lord wanted me to do it. Give me that ability. But I'll tell you one thing. He gives us all gifts. And if you use the gift he has given you, if you put it to usury, it's going to profit for the Lord, for the Master. And it's also going to profit for you. It's going to profit for you. Remember the parable? The one that had five? He gave more. The one that had three and put it to usury, he gave more. You know, I can have my pity party. Well, I'm very poor. I can't do those things. I don't, you know, just don't care. I'm not going to use it because that way I won't lose it. But I will lose it, won't I? Offer up your sacrifice to God according to the gift he has given you. And don't start looking at one of the other's gifts and say, oh, he's got time. And I've only got one. You see, when you do, guess what has just started happening? You're desiring of something of your brother's and you're not loving him as you are yourself. You're wanting something he's got to take it away from him and give it to me, you know? I raised three children. The youngest one will admit, while she was little, she said, I used to tell tales on my brother. He was almost 8 years older than her. He said, because y'all would believe me because I was the baby. And I would get him in trouble. That's exactly what we would be doing. And I want you to know that's not what Jesus told these folks here. And now I'm going to read a verse of scripture that I purposely left out, and that's the 40th verse, to the end, and I will quit. It says, on these two commandments hang. What do you hang things on? You hang things on something that's solid and stable and it will hold them, right?
Yeah.
Bless your wife, sometimes she puts a nail in just
regular old, what is it I'm trying to say?
Sheetrock. He just falls right out. I said, darling, you got to hit a stud. You know, you got to get in something. But I'll tell you what, the Lord didn't say, and this is sheetrock, and it might not hold. But the Lord says that on these two all the law and the prophets. Boy, I'm glad, Jesus, you cut them down. Have you looked at all the laws and all the things and prophecies that they had to do back there? I've only got two. You've only got two. But boy, when we start looking at them, they're hard, aren't they? Because all of the others hang on these very three things.
That's good.
Hang upon them. And trust me, these two will hold them all. It won't pull out. It won't pull out. It won't fall, but they'll stay as firm as the rock. And let's don't, you know, I was starting to say it, but I wasn't going to, but now I am. You know what sheep rock is? I don't like saying, you know, it's not real sturdy. It's not. But that rock is. And the love that God has for his people, notice I didn't say had, I said has. The love God has for his people. And it was so great that he sent his only begotten son to suffer, bleed, and die to redeem us. 25th verse of the 4th chapter of Romans. Who was delivered for our what? Sins. And raised again for our justification. He loved you to that point. And Christ, who is the second in the Trinity, loves you to the point he came and did it. And the Holy Spirit, which is the third in the Trinity, loves you to the point that he came down here and he told you about it. You say, he didn't tell me about it. Yes, he did. Look at what happens. Do you know why preachers can preach in the power and demonstration of what? Of the Spirit. There was never preaching before the day of Pentecost as there was on the day of Pentecost. And I'm a believer. Some of these preachers probably take me to task. That's right. I still believe we're in the day of Pentecost because I've seen the Holy Spirit here at this meeting already take these ministers and they speak as though it was cloven tongues of fire and they proclaim the greatness of God and the truth to us.
Amen.
He's still here. He's still blessing us. That's how much he loves us. Do we love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind? Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? That's what we're supposed to do. That's what Jesus said. And that's a full-time job. Because all of everything else, of the law and the prophets, hang on those two things. May God continue to bless you and shower out his blessings upon you through the Holy Spirit the rest of this meeting. And every day of your life, that we might stand on the rock.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Larry. One of my old fathers in the ministry, Elder Ben Howes, gone home to be with the Lord now, told me one time, and I remember a bunch of the Richards. I remember Hard Richards, and I remember Afton Richards. We got Mark Richards with us. Sister Opal Richards is Brother Afton's widow. But there was another Richards they called Uncle Hamp. One of his daughters is here today, Sister Isla Marie. Uncle Hamp. Bethel Church knows about Uncle Hamp. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't he a pastor at this church?
He was.
Brother Ben House told me one time about this rock. Nobody could preach on the greatness of God and the power of God and how solid that rock was. No one could preach that with the gift that Uncle Camp could preach that. And after they had dismissed services one afternoon at an associational meeting, little boy and little girl was walking out on the grounds, and there's an outcropping of a rock sticking up right there. You couldn't see too much of it on the upside, but no telling how deep it went in the ground. That little girl said, that little boy said, I bet God couldn't move that rock. Big idiot. That little boy said, Uncle Hamp's God could make a chicken that could eat that rock. Every time I hear that rock mentioned, that comes to my mind. I'd like to hear Uncle Hamp preach right now. John Leland wrote, the lowly we highly esteem with elevated streams, but those who us would excel, we strive to clip their wings. Think about it. That's what you preach. I have never heard that preached. I've heard verse 38 and 39 preached on. I've quoted it myself. I thank you for that. It's wonderful to know how we ought to be treating our neighbors. If you want to know who your neighbor is, go read the 10th chapter of Luke and start about verse 30.
That's right.
Jesus was teaching that very lesson.
That's right.
With that man that was beaten and left half dead. Of course, he was going on the wrong road. Starting was on the road to Jericho.
Yep.
That's downhill.
Downhill all the way.
Yeah.
if you want to know about early ancient history, Brother Don Watson is an ancient history buff. He might not claim to be a historian, but he loves to study. And he can take those things, and God gave him the gift to show you how all those little pieces of that puzzle fit together back over there in detail. Now, I've studied ancient history, but not like that. In fact, he's an encouragement to me when I go back and do some more. That's right. Brother Curtis, you got a number.